Sunday school this morning. And you know, when they have Sunday school, I'm always glad to see some older folks as well. Because, you know, we're all children in God's family. And when we come to school, we learn. And you know, no matter how old we get, we're always learning in God's school. And so I'm always glad to see lots of folks at Sunday school. Now, I'm going to ask one of these boys and girls on the front row to choose the first song. If you turn over to the back of your hymn sheet, it says Children's Hymns and Choruses, and it starts with number 40. Now let's choose a song off the back of the sheet. Who's got a choice? Let's see. Okay.
44.
Number 44. Now before we sing, I'm just going to say this. You know, I suppose there's something that every one of us are looking forward to, some little thing that we're looking forward to when we get home to heaven. Now, I know the most wonderful thing is going to be to be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and to be around Him. But I think sometimes there's some other little thing that we're looking forward to as well. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to when I get home to heaven is being able to sing. You know, I'm looking forward to getting a new voice because I can neither start or carry a tune. So as we sing these songs together, I'm going to let somebody else start them and see what happens. Number 44, if someone will start it for us.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again.
Another choice from the back of the sheet. Okay. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. I'm glad that there's going to be many children in heaven. And we hope each boy and girl here can sing from their heart that they're going to be there as well. Now, someone could start it for me, please.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining and joy. that never fades, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. What brings them to that world out of that end so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love, how bands of children there singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. Because the Savior shed his blood to purge away their sin, now wash in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high.
Well, now that I'm a little older, I don't always get a chance to choose a song at Sunday school, and so I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity this morning, and if it's all right with you boys and girls, I'm going to choose one, and it's going to be one of my favorites, number 40, Jesus Loves Me. I'm glad that we can sing and speak of the love of the Lord Jesus this morning. Number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let a little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, though I'm bad, and he waits to make me glad, waits to hold me in his arms, keeps me safe from every harm. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still. When I'm very weak and still, from his shining place on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay, close beside me all the way. If I trust him, should I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
You know, folks have been singing Jesus Loves Me for over 100 years. There was a lady over 100 years ago, and her name was Anna Warner. And Anna Warner had a Sunday school class, and she wanted to have a special song for her pupils to sing. And so she wrote this song, Jesus Loves Me. But you know, not only do boys and girls like to sing Jesus Loves Me, but sometimes I visit in nursing homes. And in nursing homes, older folks like to sing Jesus Loves Me too. It seems to be a favorite with any age group. And you know, boys and girls, not only do people in the world sing Jesus Loves Me in English, but all around the world, Jesus Loves Me has been translated into different languages. And you know, over in India, one of the languages they speak is Telugu. And there were some missionaries went over to India some years ago, and they translated Jesus Loves Me into the Telugu language so that boys and girls in India could sing Jesus Loves Me. Well, you know, these missionaries, they set up a missionary station, and they were having meetings for the boys and girls, and they were also trying to get the older ones to come to meetings too and hear about the love of the Lord Jesus. You know, up in Maine and New Brunswick, every summer we have what we call the Children's Bible Hour. And then in the evening we have the gospel, and sometimes it's hard to get older folks to come out and hear about the Lord Jesus. Well, anyway, these missionaries, the boys and girls would come, but the parents, they wouldn't come, and the grandparents. But, you know, they taught these boys and girls to sing Jesus Loves Me in their own language. And as the boys and girls went around playing at home and on their way to school and doing their chores, they were singing Jesus Loves Me. And, you know, the older folks were listening. You know, sometimes when we're little, we don't think the older folks are listening. Sometimes we think the older folks ignore us. But, you'll be surprised. The older folks are listening. Mom and Dad and Grandma, Grandpa, they're listening. Well, these older folks were listening to this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. And, you know, they started asking the children, who is this Jesus that loves you so much and that makes you sing like that? Oh, the boys and girls said, if you come to the mission station, you'll hear about the Lord Jesus. Well, you know, some of those folks, they were so curious that they started coming out to the mission station and listening to the story from God's Word about how the Lord Jesus loved us enough to come into this world and die for us and shed His precious blood. And many of those older folks got saved as a result of the children singing Jesus Loves Me. You know, there were some children one time and their mothers tried to bring them to the Lord Jesus when He was here in this world. And you know, the disciples, they said, take them away. They said, the Lord Jesus doesn't have time for little ones. Well, the Lord Jesus did have time for little ones. He said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not. And it must have been a very wonderful thing, boys and girls, when the Lord Jesus was here to be able to go and talk to the Lord Jesus, to be able to sit on His knee and to hear the Lord Jesus speak. Well, the Lord Jesus is up in heaven this morning, but you know, He still speaks to us. And He speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. And we're going to read a verse from God's Word this morning that's directed to children. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about young people and children, because the Lord Jesus this morning is very, very interested in each one of you boys and girls. And He knows your name. He knows all about you. He even knows whether you're listening this morning or not. You know, I look at you, and some of you look very nice, and some of you are looking right at me. But sometimes I wonder if you're really listening. Well, the Lord Jesus knows that, and He knows your thoughts. And more than that, He knows what your heart is like. He knows if your heart still has those stains of sin, or whether those sins have been washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to read just one verse this morning, and it's found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Well, Paul was writing to Timothy, and Timothy was no longer a child. He was a young man at this time. But Paul reminded Timothy that from the time he was a child, he had known the Holy Scriptures or the Word of God. You know, Timothy had a godly mother, and he had a godly grandmother, and they had brought the Word of God before him. They'd read it to him. You know, boys and girls, I want to say this. When we're younger, we don't always appreciate parents who read the Word of God to us. You know, my father used to get up early every morning when we were going to school, and there were four of us, and I remember a time when we all went on four different school buses, which meant that some of us left at, one of us left at 8 o'clock, one of us left at 8:15, one of us left at 25 after, and one of us left at 20 to 9. And my father would get up and he would sit at the end of the breakfast table so that he could read with each one of us as we trickled out to the breakfast table one by one. And you know, I didn't always appreciate that. In fact, sometimes what I would try to do was slip in at the last minute when I knew the bus was about a mile down the road and figure that I might miss being read God's Word. Well, you know what my father would do? He would open his Bible very patiently. He would very slowly read God's Word to me. He would bow his head and pray, and then he would get in the car and drive me to school. You know, I didn't always appreciate that, boys and girls. But you know, now as I look back, I appreciate a father who brought the Word of God before us. I appreciate a mother who read the Word of God to us in the home. And a mother who, when we went out the door to school, said, "Now remember, Jim, God is watching you today." Well, you know, we appreciate those things when we get a little older. But Paul reminded Timothy that he had been read the Word of God from the time he was a child, and that it was the Word of God that showed him the way of salvation. It made him wise, or showed him how to be saved. And you know, I wonder this morning if there are some boys and girls here, maybe even some young people, and you have heard the Word of God, you've been shown the way of salvation, but you're not saved yourself. You know, I'm going to show you what's in the bag here in a minute, tell you a little story, because you know, boys and girls, if I were to go up and down these rows and to ask you how to be saved, I'm sure that even the little ones could probably tell me how to be saved. But you know, and I'm not going to do it, but if I was to ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? I wonder what you would have to tell me. You know, sometimes when I was little, I used to be asked that question, and I wasn't really saved, but I would say, "Oh yes, I'm saved." But you know, you can fool some people, but you can't fool God. God looks down into your heart this morning, and he knows if you're saved or not. And he knows if the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. And I'm going to tell you a little story about a girl. And this little girl was very, very sick. In fact, she was so sick that she was dying. And one day the doctor came in, and this story must have taken place some years ago because it seemed it was still in the days when doctors made house calls. And so the doctor came one evening, and he knocked on the door, and the mother came to the door, and oh, she looked so sad and so concerned because she knew her little girl was dying. Well, the doctor came in, and he opened his bag. He went into the sick room, and there was the girl. She was so weak. But he opened his bag, not a bag like this, but a bag like doctors carry, and he took out of that bag a bottle of medicine. And there was a spoon on the night table, and he set that bottle of medicine there on the table beside the sick bed. And then he said to the mother, he said, "I found a cure for your little girl." And he explained very, very carefully to the mother how this little girl was to be given the medicine at certain times during the night, so much, one spoonful every so often. And he went over the instructions again because he wanted to be sure that the mother knew just how to give the medicine. If it wasn't given in a certain way and the proper amount, it wouldn't do the job. And so when he was sure that the mother had the instructions down pat, he went on his way for the evening, and he left the mother with the sick girl. Well, the next morning he came, he knocked on the door, And he expected to see a mother looking a little more cheerful, but to his amazement, the door opened and the mother just burst into tears. And she was so sobbing so much that she couldn't even speak. Well, she motioned the doctor to come in, and he came in. She took him into the sick room, and he expected to see the little girl looking a little better. And to his amazement, there was that little girl, and she had died during the night. Well, you know, the doctor stood there by that bed. He shook his head, and he looked at the mother, and he said, you know, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I was sure that this was a cure. This was a remedy for the disease that your little girl had. And as he was apologizing, he looked over and he saw that bottle of medicine on the table and couldn't believe it. There was that bottle of medicine and the lid hadn't even been taken off it. There wasn't one drop of medicine out of that bottle. And so he said to the mother, he said, didn't I make it clear that you had to give the medicine to your little girl? Well, when the mother could stop sobbing hard enough, long enough to talk, she said to the doctor, she said, you know, doctor, she said, after you were here last evening, she said, my neighbor came in, and my neighbor told me that her little girl had had the same sickness, and she had some medicine. And she said, this medicine really helped her little girl. And so she said, instead of giving the medicine that you prescribed, I gave what my neighbor had, and this is the result. Well, you know, that doctor that morning, he left that house with a very, very heavy heart, because he had done everything he could. He'd provided the cure. He told the mother how it was to be given to her daughter, but they hadn't done it. And you know, boys and girls, if I can put it this way, God has done everything he can to provide salvation for you and for me. But you know, there's a lot of people, and they know what the cure is for sin. And it's not medicine like in a bottle. The cure for sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus. It tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us or cleans us from all sin. That's the only thing that can wash your sins away. But you know, God having provided that, I'm afraid there's some people like this mother, and they know about the blood of Jesus, but they haven't made it their own. And so this morning I wonder if there's someone who's known the Holy Scriptures from the time they were a child, and they haven't applied the remedy. You know, there are some boys and girls in different parts of the world today, and they're not allowed to read the Word of God. I'm glad that the Word of God is getting into many countries where they never had the Word of God before. But you know, many, many years ago in different parts of Europe, they weren't allowed to read Bibles. And not only were they not allowed to read Bibles, they weren't allowed to have them in their home. And there used to be people that would go around and they'd search different houses where they thought there might be some Bibles. And I'm going to tell you a little story about a girl named Greta. Greta lived with her grandmother. And Greta's grandmother was like Timothy's grandmother. Greta's grandmother read the Word of God, the Bible, to her every day. Well, they weren't supposed to have Bibles. They weren't really allowed to have a Bible, but somehow Greta's grandmother had got a Bible. Now, they lived in Switzerland, and many, many years ago in Switzerland, they weren't allowed to have Bibles. Well, Greta's grandmother kept this Bible hid under some clothes way, way down in the bottom of an old trunk. And every afternoon, Greta's grandmother would sit down in her rocking chair, and Greta would climb up beside her, and they would read a story from the Bible. And Greta had a little brother, and they'd put the little brother in the cradle beside them, and Greta would rock the cradle gently as she listened to the Bible story. Well, one afternoon, Greta's grandmother was reading to Greta the story of Daniel. But after a while, Greta's grandmother got sleepy. I know sometimes older folks like to have a nap in the afternoon, and sometimes I do too. But Greta's grandmother got so sleepy that she couldn't read any longer. And so she took the Bible and she put it back down, down, down under those clothes because they didn't want anybody to find it. She piled some stuff on top and she shut the trunk down and off she went to bed. Well, Greta was left to mind her baby brother. And as she sat there rocking the cradle, she was thinking about the story of Daniel. And she thought, I wonder what else happened to Daniel in the story. And so after the grandmother was asleep, she tiptoed over to the trunk and she lifted that lid, and it was a heavy lid. And she dug down. She had to really work to get down to the bottom. Finally, she got the Bible and she pulled it out and she took it back to her chair. And she opened the Bible to Daniel, and there she was reading. And as she was reading, she saw a shadow pass the window. And she knew that the monks who had been sent around to get the Bible, they were coming to the door. Well, what was she going to do? She didn't have time to go in the other room and hide it in the trunk again, because they were already knocking at the door and wanting in. And so she slipped the Bible down under the baby in the cradle. And before she could even go to the door, they forced open the door and they rushed in. They asked for Greta's grandmother. They went in the bedroom and they woke up the old lady, said, where's your Bible? Give us your Bible. Well, you know, that lady, she really valued God's word and she wasn't about to give it up. And so she wouldn't tell them where the Bible was. Well, they said, we'll search till we find it. And so they started searching things. You know, when we were away this summer, we had someone go through our house and search things, and they dumped drawers and shelves and all kinds of things. Well, these monks, they went through everything. They dumped the drawers, and then they came to the old trunk, and Greta's grandmother was thinking to herself, uh-oh, we're going to lose our Bible after all. Well, they dumped the trunk over, they searched through the thing. Well, Greta's grandmother could hardly contain herself, because she was sure they would have found the Bible. Well, they went into the next room and they looked through some drawers. And then after they were satisfied that there was no Bible in the house, they went off to the next place to search for God's Word. And after they were gone, Greta's grandmother said, what happened to the Bible? Well, Greta went over to the cradle and she reached under her baby brother and she pulled out God's Word. And oh, you know, they were so thankful that they got down on their knees and they thanked God that he knew a better hiding place for God's word than Greta's grandmother. God knew those monks were going to come to the door. He knew they were going to search that trunk, but he also knew that they'd never think to look in the baby's cradle under the baby. You know, boys and girls, we don't have to worry this morning about someone coming through that door and taking all our Bibles and maybe putting some people in prison or something like that. And yet, you know, sometimes we just don't appreciate having Bibles. I see some of these boys and girls up here and they have their Bibles. I wonder if we really appreciate having the Word of God. You know, over in Russia, they're giving out tracts and Bibles and things where they never used to be able to. And someone was telling me about a missionary friend of theirs, and they were over in Russia, and they were allowed to give out tracts in the high school. You know, over in this country, they can't even, or at least in Canada, where I come from, they can't even recite the Lord's Prayer in the schools anymore. But you know, over there, they're so hungry for part of God's Word that they're allowed to give out tracts in the high school. And you know, these missionaries felt so bad because they ran out of tracts. There were more students than they had tracts. And as they were leaving the school, they saw a girl, and you know what she was doing? She had borrowed her friend's tract, and she was writing it out so that she could have a copy for herself. That's how much they value it. Well, Timothy was told that he had heard the word of God from a child, and that it was the word of God which had told him how to be saved. And so I'm glad that in God's word, he's told us the cure, the remedy for sin, which is his blood. And I'm glad that he has told us about his love. You know, we were singing, Jesus loves me. I like that. You know, one of my favorite verses, too, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting love. You know, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to to die on Calvary's cross. And the Lord Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross and there he died and shed his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven. I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't know, do you boys like stories about animals? Do you like stories about animals? I know when I was younger, I liked stories about animals. And you know, one time I was